God's placed a mighty anointing and wonderful gifts within him. And we believe that he's going to stand in full measure in that anointing today. And it will bless your life. So open your heart and receive. Brother Larry, come on up. Amen. Praise God. Let's give Brother Larry Hutton a great hand this morning.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Do you want this the same way?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Praise God. Good morning, family. Good to be back. It has been a number of years since I've been here, but the first time I was here was 22 years ago.
Oh, wow.
22 years ago, the first time that I came and preached here for Pastor David. And in fact, it was this month, November of 2000.
Wow.
So it's good to be back. And I got to give you a testimony. Is it okay to give God praise? I'm going to give you a praise report. So Liz and I were, not too long ago, we were in a little town of Ridgely, Tennessee, which is about an hour north of Memphis. And I got done preaching, and a couple came up that we had never met, and they introduced themselves to Liz and I. They asked if they could talk to us. We said, sure. And they said, well, we're from the First Baptist Church of Memphis, one of the largest Baptists in the nation, as a matter of fact. And they said, it was a husband and wife, and they said, we just wanted you to know that we both were dying of cancer at the same time. One of them had stage 4 cancer, the other had stage 3 cancer, and the doctors had given both of them less than 6 months to live. Think about that, husband and wife, both less than 6 months to live. So they asked the doctors, well, you know, if we get radiation, chemo, and all the normal stuff, is that going to help? How much longer could we live if that happens? They said, well, it might extend your life another 6 months. They thought, that's not good news.
No.
So they just decided, you know what, we're going to seek God. They were born again Baptist, and so they just decided to seek God, and they got on YouTube, and they just happened to run across Larry Hutton Ministries' YouTube channel.
Praise the Lord.
And I just happened to be teaching on the subject of healing. How come, you know? Anyway, they started listening to it, and they heard about my Heaven's Health Food CD. I know a couple of you mentioned it. You have that already. But anyway, they got a hold of my Heaven's Health Food CD where I just quote scriptures for an hour. I don't preach or teach. I just quote health scriptures. They started listening to it and hearing me teach on that it's God's will to heal all, which they had never heard before. So along with the Word of God and then the Word of God just listening to that, they started playing that Heaven's Health Food seven days a week, 24 hours a day, just on nonstop in their home. And in about 10 days, all the cancer had disappeared from both of their bodies. They never had any medication, never had a treatment. All they did was go to the Word of God and sell out to the Word. And God's Word became medicine to all their flesh. And so here they are standing in front of us, and they said, it was 6 months ago when all the cancer left. We've been cancer-free for 6 months now. We just wanted to come and meet you guys and let you know how much the Word of God meant to our lives. Which that was just an awesome testimony to hear that God's Word is still working today. We know it is, and we've seen it work for many people. But just think, I mean, the Word of God is more powerful than the C word.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Cold.
Yes.
Cancer.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what word it is. It's got to bow to the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
So that was just. Can I give you one more testimony?
Yes.
All right. So since it's been a while since I've been here. So about 5 years ago, my wife and I, Liz and I, were in prayer. We were in our conference room still in Tulsa, Oklahoma, before we moved here. And we were meeting with our staff, and we were just praying. And I told them, I had it on my heart to pray. I said, you know, you guys know that I stand in the office of teacher and prophet. I said, those are the two offices I flow in. I said, you know, because of that, we don't have huge altar calls at churches. Usually it's teaching meetings and seminars and stuff like that. I said, but I want to get more people saved. Let's pray that God would give us, this is scripture, the heathen for our inheritance.
Amen.
So we were praying along, praying in the spirit, and all of a sudden, prophetically, the word was spoken, something we were not expecting, something we had never heard before, and the word of the Lord came and said, advertise on Google for souls. Do what?
Yeah.
Well, we'd never heard that done. I called around, talked to some different pastor friends, minister friends. Nobody in the world that I knew was doing it. So we prayed, and the Lord said, he spoke, he gave us direction. He said, set up a separate website from your ministry website, just with the salvation prayer. and then start advertising on Google that if someone types in, how can I be saved or how do I get saved, whatever, prayer, sinner's prayer, whatever they type in, then our link will come up, and thank God it came up for a long time. I think maybe even today it's still on the first page because, you know, you can get a lot of pages and a lot of links you can click on. But anyway, the first week that we advertised on Google to get people saved, 8 people called our ministry and got saved. None of them attended church. The second week, 12 people called our ministry and got saved. None of them attended church. The third week, 22 people called our ministry and got saved. So, man, we saw this is going to escalate here. Within a couple of months, we had over 2,000 people saved on Google. Is that awesome or what? We got in touch with Google and asked them for some statistics, and they sent them back to us. Here's what they told us. They told us that the majority of the people that were contacting us, it was over 99%, the majority did not affiliate with any church. They didn't go to church. So now we knew we were reaching people that were not going to be reached by the four walls of our churches, right? And then the second statistic, get ready, this was like mind-boggling. They said 33,000 people, 33,000 people per month search Google on how to be saved. Wow. No wonder God spoke to us, advertise on Google. And so it was like, whoa. So we started believing for 100,000 people right away. I don't know if you guys know Dr. Mark Barkley, but he's a great man of God up in Michigan, and he has like 600 pastors, churches underneath his ministry that he mentors. And anyway, he heard, because I put it out on Facebook that I was going to be advertising on Google to get people saved. He called me. He said, "Brother Larry," he said, "I want in on this." He said, "I'm putting the first $1,000 in." And so it just blessed us to see the, I mean, we have a lot of things going. We have, I do a weekly or a daily television program on several different networks, and I love all the stuff God has us doing, but the people that are getting saved on Google touches my heart more than anything. It's like, I mean, he that winneth souls is wise. So, I mean, I don't think you're laying up better rewards in heaven than souls. Amen. And you should want rewards in heaven, by the way. Yes, you're going to get temporary rewards for tithing and giving and partnering with ministries like ours, whoever you're partnering with. You're going to get rewards here, but the rewards you get there, you're going to be using a lot longer.
Yes.
You may use them down here for a century. If you live as long as Moses, 120 years, whatever. But you're going to be living there for eternity. You're going to want rewards. So make sure you're doing, like Pastor encouraged us, putting God first in your finances, supporting the kingdom of God through your tithes and through your offerings. Because it'll be a lot of rewards. You know, the Johns family here today from Savannah, Georgia, they're partners of our ministry. So they're actually laying up souls in heaven. I asked our IT guy, I said, "So, sir," I said, "would you do a analysis for me and tell me, yes, we send out materials free of charge to all these people who are getting saved and stuff. So I know that costs money, but without what we send out just to get them saved on Google, what does it cost per soul?" And my IT guy came back to me and he said, "It cost $1 per soul."
Wow.
I said, I told Mark Barkley, I said, "You're getting 1,000 souls laid up in heaven, my brother." Praise God. So anyway, I just had to give that testimony because that just thrills me. I love all the people that are getting healed. I love the people that are getting touched all over the world. But people are getting saved and souls. In fact, you probably know this, Pastor Dave. Whenever those people started calling our ministry, our hearts as men of God, we want them mentored. That's why we want them in a local church and pastored. But I soon saw, well, these guys aren't attending any church. They're not going to get mentored. And so I went to my little go-tos. I don't know how many of y'all are familiar, but Brother Hagin has The New Birth, and Brother Copeland, Welcome to the Family, and Billy Joe Daugherty, and just all these different great ministries have these little mini books that you can use for people that get saved. But when I read all of them because I'm seeking God. God, what do you want me to do? I've got to help mentor these people. Not one of those little mini books talked about why you need a pastor. Not one of them talked about why you need to be part of a local church. Not one of them talked about why you need to put God in charge of your money because he knows where all the money is and he's smarter than you are. Not one of them talked about How do you carry on a conversation with God? You know, the Bible calls it prayer, but I didn't do that. God told me to write a mini book, so that's what I did. And we started sending out that mini book all over the world now to people getting saved. It's called Limitless, Life with Jesus. We have evangelists carrying these by the box loads now as they go out, and we have altar call, large churches carrying these for their altar calls. But you know what? One of my favorite, and this is a testimony that all of us should have, especially if you've been born again for any amount of time. This guy walked up to me. He had graduated from the same Bible school we'd graduated from, and he'd been full of the Word for years. He was what you would call a mature Christian. He came up and he said, "Brother Larry, thank you for that little mini book, Limitless." I said, "Well, you're welcome." I didn't know why he was thanking me, and I said, "You're welcome." I said, "You know, God told me to write it." He said, "Well, I just want you to know that that mini book relit my fire." Wow. I thought, "You're a mature Christian. You've been in the Word for many years." And he said, "Yeah, but you know, the Bible says we can let things slip and that we need to be put in remembrance." He said, "Your little mini book relit my fire. It put me in remembrance, stirred me up to get back into some things that I'd let slip." And so that was just a testimony to me as well. Praise God. So anyway, how many of you have your Bibles this morning? Open up to Proverbs, the 18th chapter. I have a word from the Lord for you today. And this is a word that's going to prepare you for your future. How many of you want to create a good future in your life? You can actually do that. And we're going to be talking about that today. So here in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Now, bro on the camera, you're going to have to tell me, am I allowed to get off the platform and go preaching, or... You'll follow me. Okay. Wanted to make sure he told me that he's going to follow me, but I didn't know if that meant from this side of the platform to this side of the platform, or can I run off the platform and get in somebody's face and say, "Look at what the Word says." I have a tendency to move everywhere, move all over the place when I preach. So praise God. All right. Proverbs 18:21. Here's a verse that a lot of people are familiar with, although it has never been understood by most Christians in the body of Christ. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the what?" Tongue. How many of you have a tongue? I better see every hand or I'm going to have an altar call for liars. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I looked up the word power, the Hebrew word. I like studying the Hebrew in the Old Testament and then the Greek in the New Testament. So I was looking up the Hebrew this was translated from. It does mean power. It does mean strength. But those weren't the main definition. The main definition of this Hebrew word for this translated power of the tongue is hand. H-A-N-D. Death and life are in the hand of the tongue. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but immediately I started picturing my tongue as a hand. Come on, how many of you want some handouts? You've been giving yourself handouts all along and you didn't even realize it. People love handouts. The New Century Version says, "What you say can mean life or death. Those who speak with care will be rewarded." Kind of sounds like you're handing yourself things, doesn't it? The Good News Bible says, "What you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you will accept the consequences of your words." Kind of sounds like you're going to hand yourself something. So, death and life. What I did is, again, in my studies, this is how you really meditate on a word and take a verse of Scripture and break it apart so that you get an understanding of it. I just started looking at all these different Hebrew words that are used in this verse. I thought, okay, so death or life is in the hand of the tongue. That means my tongue is going to either hand me death or hand me life. So let me look up the word death. The word death is actually an all-inclusive word. It means deadly, destructive, actually talks about everything that ends up leading to and ending in physical death. So it's talking about really all the works of darkness, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, fear, depression. All the works of darkness are part of this word death. And then this word life, I looked up the word life. The Hebrew word means things that are lively, things that sustain life. It's really just the opposite of the works of darkness. It would all be part of the works of light, kingdom of light, kingdom of God. So it would be health and prosperity and peace and joy and success, all of those kinds of things. So what I did to really get this open in my understanding is I took all these different meanings of death and all these different meanings of life, and I wrote down, instead of saying life and death, I put all these different words in place of them for me to really get an understanding. It's going to help you. So here's what I wrote down. I wrote down, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Sickness and health are in the power of the tongue. Poverty and prosperity are in the power of the tongue. Anxiety and peace are in the power of the tongue. Depression and joy are in the power of the tongue. A bad marriage and a good marriage is in the power of the tongue. Failure and success are in the power of the tongue. Are y'all getting this? You can take anything from death or anything from life and replace it, and you're just as scriptural reading it that way. Amen. Death and life. Turn over with me to 1 Peter. Let's look at this in the New Testament when it talks about the tongue. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Peter 3, 10. First Peter 3:10, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his what? Tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let me read a couple other translations. He who wishes, this is the Weymouth New Testament, he who wishes to be well satisfied with life and see happy days, let him restrain his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful words. The New Living says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. The Amplified says, he who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good whether apparent or not, keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile, treachery, and deceit. The Message Bible says, whoever wants to embrace life and see the day filled up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Amen. So how many of you want to do like all these translations? How many of you want to have a life where good things are always happening to you? You're enjoying life, you're well satisfied, and you're always happy. Well, then you have to take control of your tongue. And Peter is actually quoting the Old Testament when he says that here in 1 Peter. In fact, let me show you that. Go over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is actually where 1 Peter 3:10 comes from, because he's quoting this. Psalm 34, let's go to verses 12 and 13. Psalm 34, 12. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So what I did is I took these verses, I took all of those words in Peter that we just read, and then I took all of the words here in Psalms, and I looked up every Hebrew word in Psalms and every Greek word in Peter, and then I wrote my own paraphrase. I'm actually writing a paraphrase Bible as we speak. It might take me till Jesus comes, but I am working on that. But anyway... So I wrote a paraphrase of these verses so that I could really get an understanding exactly what God was saying here. So let me read my paraphrase, and this again is from 1 Peter 3:10 and then Psalm here. This is what the paraphrase says. So this is literally what it's saying together in the Hebrew and Greek. Who among you wants to experience a dynamic and active life, one with longevity and one that continually has good things happening in it? Then don't let your tongue speak anything contrary to God's word. And stop lying or saying anything that would deceive yourself or others. Whoa. Am I off that camera? Sorry if I moved away from it. Oh, you're good. Okay. I saw it pointing this way. I thought, do I need to move? Hallelujah. So let me read that again, and here's why I'm going to read it again. When I got done writing this paraphrase, I didn't know that I was actually being supernaturally led by the Holy Ghost to do it. But when I got done writing the paraphrase, then the word of the Lord came to me and said, write the opposite of that paraphrase. Are y'all ready to get your toes stepped on this morning? Because he stepped all over my toes when I wrote the opposite of the paraphrase. So let me read the paraphrase, then I'm going to read to you the opposite of the paraphrase. Here again is the paraphrase. Who among you wants to experience a dynamic and active life? One with longevity, one that continually has good things happening in it? Then don't let your tongue speak anything contrary to God's word, and stop lying or saying anything that would deceive yourself or others. Here's the opposite. Who among you wants to experience a destructive and depressing life? One that is short-lived and one that continually has bad things happening in it? Then just let your tongue speak everything that comes to your mind. And it's okay to tell little white lies. And for that matter, if you want to speak half-truths or little deceptive things to make yourself look better, feel free to do that as well. Ouch. Say amen if you can. Say oh me if you can't, because it's so anyhow. Who among you wants to experience a destructive, depressing life? One short-lived, one that continually has bad things happening in it? Then just go ahead and give people a piece of your mind. Just say whatever comes to mind. And it's okay to tell little white lies. And for that matter, if you want to speak half-truths to make yourself look better, feel free to do that as well. Wow. I think, according to what God's saying, and plus all the other verses we're getting ready to go to, your words matter. Huge. The words that come out of your mouth matter big time. Let me show you something David said over in Psalm 45. Go to Psalm 45 and verse number 1. Psalm 45, 1. I'm going to read the King James first of all. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I've made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My heart is inditing a good matter. What does that mean? I speak of the things which I've made touching the king. What does that mean? My tongue's a pen of a ready writer. What does that mean? Well, I went through all the Hebrew and wrote a paraphrase or kind of exactly what it is actually saying. When he says, my heart is inditing a good matter, this literally says in the Hebrew, my heart is stirred to speak something good.
Yes.
Did you know that God created you to have good, to speak good, to live good? God never created man to have a bummer life, right? He created us to have a blessed life. And when Jesus came, he said, I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly until it's full and overflowing with his blessings. So when he says, my heart is inditing a good matter, he said, my heart, that's your spirit man, the real you, the eternal man, is stirred by God to speak something good. You were made to be a well springing up into everlasting life. Then it says, I speak of the things which I've made touching the king. What this literally says in the Hebrew, my words are made for royalty. My words are made for royalty. That's what it means when it says, I speak of things concerning touching the king. You're a royal priesthood.
Amen.
You're part of the kingdom. You're part of a royal family that's much more higher than any natural royal family on the earth. You're part of the family of God. And then when it says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer, it literally means this, my tongue cunningly, like a skillful writer, will choose what is written on the pages of my life.
That's right. Oh, that's good.
Wow. My tongue cunningly, like a skillful writer, will choose what is written on the pages of my life next week and next month and next year. And you want a good future? You can start writing in your pages now, but you're going to have to write it with it is written. It is. This is why most Christians have a lot of pages filled with bad, is they never say what is written. Why? Because they just go get one cold snack a week. Jesus never said, give us this day our weekly bread. Amen. Come on. He said, give us this day our
daily.
Jesus in Matthew 4:4 likened the word of God to, and us eating the word of God like natural food for our bodies. He said, you can't live on bread alone. So he actually says, you can't live on natural food alone. Your body can, but you can't. If you really want to live, your body loves that food that you give it three times a day or more. But your eternal self, the real you, your spirit man, the inward man, Paul calls it, you need the word, the bread of life.
Amen.
You need the word of God regularly. That's why I'm continually listening to the word all the time. And when I'm not listening with my ears, then I'm speaking that word that I've listened to before out of my mouth so that I'm handing myself a good future. This is why I have a good future all the time. My next week, my next month, my next year, they're going to be awesome. I don't care what happens in the world. I don't care what happens with terrorists. I don't care what happens with viruses. I don't care what happens with governments. I'm part of a government, and the government is upon the shoulders of Jesus, and I know my future's bright. That's why back in a couple years ago when this Wuhan virus came out, sorry, I don't call it whatever that other name is. COVID, right? It's actually the Wuhan virus. It's a China virus. Anyway, most people don't even know this. The reason it was changed, if you would go back when it first came out, it was not called COVID. It was called the China virus is what they called it, not Wuhan, even though they didn't know it that well. A lot of people knew, but anyway, it was called the China virus. Well, then all of a sudden they got pressure from the WHO. Actually, China put pressure on the World Health Organization, WHO. They said, quit calling it the China virus, call it COVID. That's why it was changed, and that's why everybody started calling it that. Yeah. So I didn't call it that because I'm not going to abide by what China tells me to do.
Amen.
Amen. But anyway, when it broke out, the first thing I did, which is what all of us should do about anything, is we should go to the Word.
Amen.
So when it broke out and they said, now you got to wear a mask and now you got to social distance and now you can't touch people, and they told the churches, you're not essential, close down, all these things. The first thing I did is I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why did I do that? Well, 1 John 2:6 says, I'm to walk even as Jesus walked. So I thought, okay, I got to go find out what Jesus did when contagious diseases came along. So I went and I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and everywhere Jesus kept going into multitudes of people with contagious diseases, a lot worse than that virus. And you know what? He didn't social distance. And he didn't stop laying hands on people or touching people. I thought, well, there's my answer. So I continued to travel. I mean, I didn't stop 1 month. I mean, weeks every month, some church would call me and say, we're not shut down. Come preach for us. And so I kept traveling the whole time. My calendar stayed full. I kept traveling. Now, there were churches that I would go to that maybe just 25% of the people were there and the other 75% were watching online, but I still traveled. Now, sometimes when I travel, in fact, most of the time for almost a year, when I got on the jet, American Airlines, Delta Airlines, whoever I was flying, when I got on the jet, I felt like I owned the jet. Because I was only one of a couple people. In fact, I don't know if any of you follow me on Facebook, but when I got on one jet, because I fly every week of the year, I fly 40 to 45 weeks out of 52 every year. And I've been doing it for 40 years. I was doing it when I was going to Rhema with your pastor. I started preaching in 1980, even before then, really. But my first sermon as a minister was in 1980. And so I've been doing this a long time. But anyway, I got on that jet, and so when I got on, because I fly every week, they upgraded me to first class. And I was the only person in first class. And there were only four people in coach. So I started on Facebook. I did a live Facebook. I started recording me and saying, hi, everybody, because my partners follow me a lot of times on Facebook. Hey, everybody, I'm traveling to such and such to go preach, and here's the people in coach back here. And they all saw me recording, and they all started waving and partying with me. But my point is, I continue to be a doer of the word regardless of what they say.
Right. Amen.
Somebody said, well, did you wear a mask? Well, they wouldn't let me on the plane without one, but as soon as I sat down, I started eating. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. My peanuts, boy, they lasted a long time. And because at that point, they weren't making you take a bite and put the mask back on. They tried that for a while, and that didn't work because I didn't ever do that. But anyway, we don't have to be afraid of things, folks. We have to speak what the Word of God says and hand ourselves blessings and life. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 with me. Is anybody getting anything?
Amen.
Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you are in Christ? Well, if you're born again, you are in Christ. It says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of what?
Life.
Remember, we're looking at life and death, so I want you to see that in this verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, and you could add to the end of that, out of Christ Jesus. So the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. That's the law you get to start operating when you get in Him. And then the law of sin and death is out of Christ Jesus. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians operate out of Christ Jesus. And they operate this law of sin and death. Notice the words life and death. So when you combine this, and you always let Scripture interpret Scripture, life and death are in the power of the tongue, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of death. So when you combine these two, then the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death are released by our words. Therefore, the law of life is operated by our words. It's what releases healing, prosperity, blessed marriage, stable emotions, all that kind of thing. The law of sin and death is also operated by our words. It's what releases sickness, poverty, emotional stability, all those things. But I want us to go back to what Peter said. If you really want to love your life and see the day filled up with good, remember 1 Peter 3:10? It tells us to do something. It says, you really want that kind of life, that kind of blessing, you want to live that way, then it says what we need to do in 1 Peter 3:10 is refrain, that means stop your tongue from speaking evil. So the question becomes, what are evil words? I asked that one time, and this one Christian said, well, I quit speaking evil words when I got saved. I quit cussing. Well, it's commendable when a person stops using foul language in their conversation. But I think the Bible means a whole lot more than that when he talks about evil words. So let's go over to Numbers, the 13th chapter, and we want to find out what does God call evil words so that we can stop our tongue from speaking evil and start handing ourselves life on a silver platter. I've been telling people, you can ask our partners back there, the Johns. I've been writing a letter to my partners for over a year now, probably a year and a half or more. Every letter has been zeroed into, you can live a fun, happy, fulfilled life 365 days a year. You can live that way until Jesus comes back. You can live a Garden of Eden type lifestyle. You can do that because Jesus has made a way for you to do that. And so every letter I'm writing different things. I love writing to my partners. I get the same anointing when I'm writing my partners as I do when I'm on the platform ministering the Word of God. Because that's what I'm doing when I'm writing my partners. I spend hours, you can ask my wife, I spend hours sitting down studying, Lord, what do you want me to tell my partners and teach this month? Because God's Word is our lifeline. And we need this Word, and we need to be not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Is that right?
Yes. Amen.
So here in Numbers chapter 13, this is the chapter where God tells Moses, send men into the land of Canaan. And God told him in verse 2, he said, send these spies in the land that I give to you. So before they ever went into the land to spy it out, God said, I give it to you. So it was already their possession.
Amen.
A lot of people don't realize that. And so they went in and searched the land. We're going to skip a bunch of verses here for time's sake. They went in, they searched the land, they returned, they brought back fruit from the land. And now look at what they said upon their return, starting in verse 27. Numbers 13, 27. They, this is the 10 spies, they said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." See, God had told them, the land that I'm sending you is filled with fruit, milk and honey, and this is going to be blessed fruit for you. So when they returned, the first thing they did is give a praise report. That was a good way to start. It's just too bad they didn't keep going that direction. But they said, "Look, look, look." And they held up the fruit. "Look, look," what they were really saying is, "Look, what God said was true." But they start the next verse with the word "nevertheless." "The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak." You know, they're the giants. Then in verse 29, they continue to report all the people who inhabited the different regions of the land. But while they're speaking, I want you to look at verse 30, because Caleb interrupted them and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome it." Amen. They didn't have microphones or sound systems, so I'm sure he had to holler. Yeah. "Let's go up at once and take possession. We're well able to overcome and well able to possess it." Well, you know by reading this story, what Caleb said did not please the others who had gone with him. They immediately spoke up in verse 31 and began to say, "We are not able to go against the people. They are stronger than we are." Verse 32, they went on, "The land through which we've gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people who we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in our sight," or were we in their sight. So I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice what these 10, we know Joshua and Caleb didn't speak that. We know the other 10 did. Notice what they reported. They reported, let's look, they reported how strong the people were. They reported how massive the walls were. They reported that there were giants in the land. And then they finally reported about their own weaknesses and abilities were not sufficient to take the land. In fact, they said, "We felt like grasshoppers." So what was it that they reported? They reported the facts. They reported reality. What they saw, what they felt, what they heard, it was real. And it was factual. You know, when I quoted verse 32 above, I purposely omitted the first part of the verse as we were talking about what the 10 spies said. So go back up and look at that. It says the first part of the verse, what God said about their words. Let's see if their words released life or death, and whether they were good words or evil words. Numbers 13, 32, "And they gave the children of Israel an evil report." New King James says bad report. I looked up the word evil, and in the Hebrew it means evil, or it means bad. So whichever one you want to use is fine. But God is doing the talking here, and look what God said about their words. He called the words that came out of their mouths bad or evil words. What were they speaking? What were they reporting? The facts, reality. But see, to most people, speaking facts or realities is regarded as truth. You'll even hear people say, "Well, let me just tell you the truth." And then they'll go ahead and start telling you the facts and the realities in their life. That's what these 10 spies did. They spoke out what they saw and how it made them feel. They merely spoke facts and what was real to them. But God called it evil. Why? Because what they said went against what God had already said. God had already said, "I give you the land." Listen, God knew the obstacles they were going to have to face were real and they were factual. He knew from a natural, humanly standpoint, the people who were currently dwelling in the land were bigger and stronger than the children of Israel. But God also knew the facts were subject to change. God never said, "Go search the land and Come back and tell me if you think you're big enough or strong enough or smart enough to take it. He never said that. See, here's the truth we need to understand. Anytime God speaks something to us, He wants us to receive it as truth, even though it may look impossible. When we accept it as truth, that is when grace, or you could say an empowerment or enablement to do supernatural things, happens. You become strong in the Lord and the power of His might instead of strong in yourself and the power of your might. So when they spoke the natural facts and realities of the situation, they were speaking contrary to God's word. God had already said that I give you the land. And when they spoke contrary, God said their words were evil. It says they brought back an evil report. Look what it says, saying. They brought back an evil report, saying, remember, your hand's going to hand you, your tongue's going to hand you things. Saying, what did they say? The giants are huge. They're stronger than we are. The cities are walled and unscalable. We look like grasshoppers to them, and we feel like grasshoppers ourselves. What were they speaking? They were speaking words about what they saw, what they heard, and how it made them feel. To them, it was real, reality. But God said it was evil. Yeah. Remember, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Remember 1 Peter 3:10. If you want to have a good life filled with good, then refrain your tongue from
speaking evil.
That means when the facts and realities of life, meaning our problems, our situations, our tests, our trials that we go through, when those things don't agree with what God's Word says, then for you to agree with your facts and realities contrary to God's Word will cause you to not love your life and not see it filled up with good things.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wow. This is showing us that facts and realities are not what establish truth in our lives. Remember in John 17:17, Jesus said to His Father, Father, Your word is truth. This is what we have to have establish truth in our lives. This is what we have to make day-to-day decisions upon, how we treat people, how we act, how we face a pain that attacks the body. I started learning that. I've learned this years ago about speaking words, but I started seeing when I got in my 50s. I'm 68 years young right now, but so I got a long way to go. I'm not even midway life yet.
Yeah.
If Jesus tarries, somebody said, "What do you mean you're not at midway? You mean you're going to live past 120? You think I'm going to let Moses outdo me?" Now, so I'm not being funny at all with that. I know it sounds comical, but I'm not being funny. If you will study out, see, you study the word, you learn a lot. If you'll study out, the only reason Moses died at 120 is because he disobeyed God. Besides that, Moses was under an inferior covenant than I'm under. I'm under a better covenant established on better promises. Moses didn't have the greater one living on the inside of him. So if he could live to 120 with perfect eyesight and perfect health and strong, be able to run through a troop, leap over a wall, and climb mountains, then how much more can we if we dare to believe the Word of God?
Amen.
Boy, my preaching's better than some of your amen in here this morning. Hallelujah. God's Word is truth. Therefore, any word that does not agree with God's Word would be considered a bad or evil word. You know, I looked up these two words here, evil report. They gave God an evil report. It's actually just one Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is debah, and it means slander.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
You're actually speaking slander when you're speaking words against God's word. So I looked up the word slander. Here's the definition of the word slander. The action or crime of making a false spoken statement damaging to a person's reputation. Wow. The action or crime of making a false spoken statement. See, it may be real, it may be factual, but if it goes against word, it's a crime and it's a false spoken statement. And it's going to be damaging to your reputation. So my question becomes, did these words that the children of Israel spoke, did they matter to God? Did they affect their future? Well, let's go ahead and see what their spoken words did if we continue in the next chapter, the first two verses. It says, all the congregation. So here's what the majority did when they heard the 10 spies. They heard what Caleb and Joshua said. Let's go up at once and possess it. We're well able. But they decided to follow the majority. The majority said, we're not able. They're bigger than we are. We'll get killed if we go in there. So here's what the majority said. They lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept all night long. Wow. You heard somebody else say, we can't go possess the land. And you fall down like a baby and cry all night long? That's what they did. And then look at what they said. Watch this now. Death and life are in the hand of the tongue. Watch this. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, this is Moses and Aaron they're talking to, we wish God would have let us die in Egypt. Well, now, here's the good thing about that. That's already past tense, so that can't happen. So they can't hand themselves dying in Egypt because they're already gone from there, right? So that's good news. But here's the problem, what they said next. We wish God would just let us die in the wilderness. Oops. Skip down to verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? He wasn't calling them evil. This was his children. He wasn't calling them evil as bad people. He was letting them know, as long as you're speaking against me, you're acting evil. So he said, how long am I going to put up with this evil congregation which murmur against me? We just saw back in verse 2, they were talking to Moses and Aaron. But now God takes it personally. He said, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Verse 28, say to them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken, so I will do. In other words, I'm going to let happen what you say. Why? Because God has given man authority in their lives. God did not make human being puppets. That's why God has never sent anyone to hell. People said, well, why would a loving God let somebody go to hell? He doesn't let anybody go to hell. He lets them make a choice. God so loved the whole world, that includes everybody, that he sent Jesus. And if people will receive Jesus, they'll miss it. Listen, hell was never made for humans. You read the Bible, hell was made for the devil and his angels that followed him. God's never sent anybody to hell, never has, never will. But he lets people choose because he did not make human beings puppets. He says, in Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record this day. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. But he doesn't make you. He doesn't make you choose. So he said, well, skip down to verse 36. Look at verse 36. And so the men which Moses went to search the land who returned made all the congregation to murmur against him. Watch this. By bringing up a slander upon the land. Remember, we found out evil report meant slander. They brought up slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague right in front of God. Wow. Wow. Death was in the power hand of their tongue. They handed themselves a bad future. I want you to notice again what Caleb said when you go back to chapter 13, verse 30. Let us go up at once and take possession. We're well able to overcome it. And if you go on, we won't take time, but probably a lot of you have read this story. You know they got to go into the promised land. Got delayed a lot because of the unbelief in the crowd, but they got to go in, praise God. Now turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Whoa. I think I'm supposed to be done, and I've got 10 more minutes worth. Are we good? I heard the people, Pastor said. Hallelujah. Us preachers, we usually say, yeah, go on, go on, go on. But the people are going, man, I want to go to the restaurant. I want to go home. I want to go take a nap. I want to go watch football, whatever, you know. But I got most of the people going, yeah, go on, go on. So, okay. So Luke chapter 1, Verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. You guys know the story where Gabriel appeared to him. Let's skip down to verse 11. An angel of the Lord, this is Gabriel, you'll find out, appeared to him standing on the right hand of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell on him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. You should call his name John. And you'll have joy and gladness, and many will be rejoice at his birth." So here's the angel Gabriel tells Zacharias, "Your prayer is heard." So that proves to us that Zacharias and Elizabeth had been praying for a child.
Yeah.
But according to what it goes on to say, they were well past their childbearing years, and so it didn't look like this prayer was ever going to come to pass. But now the angel says differently. He appears to Zacharias and said, "Your prayer is heard. You're going to have your prayers answered. You're going to have a son. His name's going to be John." So let me ask you a question. If you had an angel appear to you and you were believing God, let's say you were believing for a child, you're married, you're believing for a kid, and an angel appears to you and said, "You know, you've been praying and I'm going to answer your prayer. You're going to have a son and you're going to call him this." Wouldn't that make you happy? It seems to me you would be glad, like he just got done saying, "Many are going to rejoice and you're going to be glad." Well, let's see what Zacharias' response was. Verse 18, Luke 1:18. Zacharias said to the angel, "How do I know what you're telling me is true?" King James says, "How shall I know this?" How do I know what you're telling me is true? "Because I'm old and my wife is also old." "How do I know you're telling me the truth? Don't you know that I am really old and so is my wife?" In other words, can't you see the reality and the facts? I know that's going against what God said, but it's real. So listen to this. It's one thing to have unbelief come to your thoughts, but it's another thing entirely when you hook your tongue up with those thoughts.
That's right.
And so after he says, "You know, I'm not believing what you're saying to me because I'm old and my wife's really old, so how this just can't happen." Look what the angel said in verse 19. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Behold, you're going to be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place." In other words, till John's born. "Because you did..." Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why God had to shut his mouth. "Because you did not..." What? "Believe my words, which shall be fulfilled." In other words, the only way they're going to be fulfilled is if I can stop you handing something to us.
Yeah.
Whoa. Well, are you seeing what he's saying here?
Yeah.
I mean, he says, I don't believe he said, "My name's Gabriel, and I'm going to have to shut your mouth." I don't believe it was like that at all. I believe after Zacharias came against what God said and Gabriel was speaking for God, I believe it was more like, "I am Gabriel. I just came from God that gave me a word for you, and it's supposed to make you happy, dude." "But now, because you're not going to believe God's word, I'm going to have to zip the lip. You're not going to be able to say another word, because if you do, it'll thwart the very plan of God." Whoa, yeah. Such power has he given to men.
Yes.
And why people don't like their lives because they keep handing themselves death over and over and over.
Yes.
Death and life are in the hand, the power, the hand of the tongue. Wow. And of course, if you read the story, then after John is born, his tongue is loosed and everything is good. So I asked God, I said, "God, so this is the deal here. You know, all of us are guilty of speaking things that aren't true. Like, my feet are killing me." Well, you're not dropping over dead, so it's really not true. "That tickles me to death." Well, you're not dying, so it really isn't. "He drives me up the wall." Are you Spider-Man? "I just feel like I'm on pins and needles." Well, that's got to be uncomfortable. That just blows my mind. I won't go there anyway. What about this one? If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. No, you only told me 33 times. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, these are idioms, they're exaggerations, they're figures of speech, but they're words. Are they affecting us? And God took me over to James chapter 1. Would you go there with me? James chapter 1. Wow. This is going to be life-changing. For those of you that take this and are not just hearers of the word, but doers, you take what you're hearing here this morning, you apply it this week, next month. I'm telling you what, you're going to set yourself up for a wonderful future. Amen. I get out of bed every morning, usually before I even get out of bed, but if it's not before I get out of bed, then it's right after I get out of bed. I lift up my voice and I say, Lord, this is a day that you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in this day. Lord, you've loaded my day with the benefits of salvation. You've forgiven all my sins. You've healed all my diseases. You've redeemed my life from destruction. You've continually crowned me, loved me, hugged me, enveloped me with your love, kindness, and tender mercies. And you satisfy my mouth with good things out of your word so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, Lord, I'm going to have a great day. And I go about having a great day. I don't care if all heaven breaks loose. I don't care if all hell breaks loose. I just let all heaven break loose.
Amen.
Yeah, I had a person come up to me. This has happened many times. Somebody come, Brother Larry, pray for me. All hell broke loose. I said, well, let's let all heaven break loose. Because heaven's more powerful than hell.
Yes.
Let's let light break loose. Light's more powerful than darkness. Yes. Let's let God break loose. He's more powerful than the devil. People want to glorify Satan and the devil and the works of him. Start glorifying God.
Amen.
Hand yourself life.
Amen.
This isn't religion, folks, what I'm showing you here. I just told yesterday I was in the recording studio recording 5 programs for my television because I do daily television. And I told the people watching television, I said, you're not watching a religious program. I'm sure some people were thought, yes, I am. No, you're not watching because this isn't about religion. This is about relationship. All the religions of the world serve dead gods. Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. All the other religions serve dead gods. But Christians serve a living, risen Christ. So this is real to Larry Hutton. This isn't ink and pages leather bound. This is living, breathing. His name is Jesus. In the beginning, his name was the Word. He was with God. He was God. And he became flesh and got the name Jesus. We're about to celebrate more of that at Christmas time, aren't we?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. This is real. This is why I travel. This is why I live in hotels. I live in restaurants. I live on airplanes. I live in car rentals. For 40 years, I've been doing this. Why? Because this is real. This isn't religion. This is the real deal. We got to get to the place where we're not straddling the fence anymore, friends, especially in these last days. This virus that out of China, that's not the worst thing that's going to happen. There's more bad things going to happen, but it's going to be happening while the greatest revival on planet Earth is happening at the same time. And we're going to rejoice when we see multitudes, billions, this is what the Lord showed me in a vision, billions are going to get saved like this. You want me to tell you some of what the Lord told me? He said, I'm going to start doing things in the miraculous realm. He said, I'm going to heal Alzheimer's, dementia, Lou Gehrig's, Parkinson's. He said, I'm going to be raising the dead. I'm going to be putting back limbs on people that have lost limbs. He said, I'm going to be doing such miraculous. And this is how the Lord spoke to me. I didn't make this up. The Lord said, I'm going to do this so much that even the fake news media won't be able to hide it.
Yes, praise God.
And he went on and told me why. He said, because I'm going to be healing their sons and their daughters and their mother and their father and their granddad, and they won't want to hide it. And this news will go around the earth overnight, and billions will come into the kingdom. And then it'll be a very short time later that the clouds are split. We hear a trumpet and we see Jesus and we go join him.
Amen.
But let me tell you what's going to be happening while this great revival and miracles are happening everywhere. There will be 1,000 fall at your side. And 10,000 at your right hand. That's worse than 9/11, folks. And we need to be prepared with life in us because we're going to end up weeping with those who weep. We are. We're going to have to bring light into those situations, and we're going to have to pull them up, and we're going to have to show them the way, and His name is Jesus. So it's not going to be all fun time. Yes, it's going to be glorious and wonderful. But there's going to be a lot of sad stuff happening on the earth before Jesus comes. And that's going to happen quickly. It's going to be happening very soon, so be prepared. James 1, boy, thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't want to disobey the pastor here. And he said, Larry, I normally get done. But I'll tell you, I'm feeling the Spirit of God so much flow right now. And he told me, if the Spirit's moving, go. So I'm going to just go take a few more minutes. James 1:22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes what he looks like, goes away, and then forgets what he looks like. Verse 25, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, I call it the perfect law of liberty mirror, because he just likened the word of God to a mirror. He said, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, we know he's talking about the word because he just said, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you deceive yourself, right? So we know he's talking about the word. He said, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty mirror and continues looking, here's the key, and continues looking when all of the giants are in the land and when the walls are too unscalable and when you look like a grasshopper and you feel like you continue to do the word, and then you're not going to be a forgetful hearer. Because we found out back in verse 22, if you're forgetful here, you deceive your own self. Right. He said, if you continue in the word, you continue looking, you're not a forgetful here, but you keep doing the work. Amen. What's the work? The word. You're working the word. You're working out your own salvation. And then he says, this one will be blessed in what he does. Yes. But you know what I always did, Pastor David? You probably didn't do this. Probably other people didn't, but I did. I always just stopped reading right there. And this wasn't written in chapter and verse. The next verse was right in sync, trying to help us understand what it meant to be a doer of the word or not a doer of the word. So he says in the next verse, if anyone among you, talking to those that he just got done saying, you got to hear the word, but you also got to do it, because if you don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. You're doing what? Deceiving yourself. Watch this. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his what? Aha. Uh-huh. Life and death are in the power of the... So if you don't bridle your tongue, you deceive your own heart, and what you believe is useless. The Bible in basic English says, you're tricked by what is false and your religion is of no value. Contemporary English says, you're fooling yourself and everything you do is useless. The Amplified says, you delude your heart. You delude your heart. Romans chapter 10 says, for with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart you do what?
Believe.
So if you're speaking out idioms, exaggerations, I'll be there at 7 and you get there at 7:15, you didn't speak truth. Come on. Yeah. If we speak words that do not mean anything, well, I'm just kidding. Then why'd you say it? Yeah, I'm trying to be funny. Stop being funny, because you're handing yourself bad stuff. And here, even if you're not dying because you didn't laugh yourself to death, you might not be dying, but here's what's happening. Your faith is being shut down.
Yeah.
Because your heart, James says, your heart is deceived.
Right.
And the heart is where you believe. Mm-hmm. So if your heart's deceived, then out of one side of your mouth, you're saying, you know, Jesus bore my sickness and disease, so therefore I'm healed. And then now the other side of the mouth, when you're not at church and you're somewhere else, well, I wish I could get healed. I wish I could get rid of this sickness in my body. One point you're saying you're healed, the next point you're saying you're not. Or one point you're saying you're speaking the word, but another point you're saying something like, well, I've told you once, I've told you a million times. And your heart goes, you didn't mean that. So maybe you didn't mean this.
Right.
Yeah. Which one do I believe? Uh-huh. With the heart, man believes.
Right.
This is why a lot of Christians' faith doesn't work. I'm talking churches that are churches out of my out of our same Bible school.
Sure.
People that attend the churches. People aren't getting their prayers answered. People aren't having good things happen in their life. They don't realize they've been handing themselves things over and over and over. Let me close back in Proverbs 18:21. All right, go there and I'm going to close. Turn back to Proverbs 18:21. There was one translation I didn't give you earlier. I'm going to give that to you when I close here. Hallelujah. This is going to change your life these next 12 months, folks. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This is what the Message Bible says. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. How do you choose? This is how you choose. With your tongue. You choose to only speak. It is written. You know, I was driving to the office one day and the Lord spoke to me. This was many, many years ago now. He spoke to me and he said, I want you to write down a verse of scripture. And he said, I want you to speak it out loud as often as you can speak it. Speak it as many times before you go to bed tonight. I want you to say this scripture. And he told me what scripture to write down. And I wrote it down. And all day long at work, I was speaking that word. By the time I went to bed that night, I'll bet I'd spoken that scripture out loud so my own ears could hear it about 70 or 80 times. Day two, I got up, and the Lord spoke and said, take that scripture with you again and do the same thing. So, second day, I did the same thing 70 or 80 times. Third day, the Lord spoke and said, take that same scripture with you again. He did that for 7 days. I'm talking, by the third day, I could quote the verse backwards. I had the verse memorized, but I didn't know the difference of memorization and knowing. See, the Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, he rebuked the scribes, he rebuked the Sadducees. He said, you guys can quote the scriptures. And they could quote the first 5 books of the Bible. They had a lot memorized, but Jesus said, you do not know them. So what had happened then from day 3 and day 4, I kept doing the same scripture. Day 5, day 6, day 7, something happened by the 7th day that scripture became part of the fabric of my being. It was oozing out my pores. You know how I knew? About 3 weeks later, I entered a test of life. And that test that I was in, my goodness, I mean, without even thinking, Pastor David, it was like, here I was in, you know, we all face tests and trials of life. Here I was in this hardship of life. And up out of the inside of me, I found myself saying, it is written, speaking the word that I'd meditated on a few weeks before for that whole 7 days. And I didn't even realize I was doing it. I wasn't trying to think of something. It came, the Holy Ghost brought to my remembrance what he said to me. Jesus said, if you continue in my words, then you'll be my disciples. Then you'll know the truth and it'll make you free. So I did that. Then week 2, he gave me a new verse. And he said, what if you do this for 52 weeks this year? I said, at the end of the year, I'll have 52 verses of scripture I can do battle with. He said, what if you do it for 2 years? This is why I'm full of the word. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the word. This is why, because I do this all the time. I do this regularly. I stay full of the word so that when I enter into the valley of the shadow of death, all of us are going to go through valleys. When I go in through the valley of the shadow of death, I walk right through it. Happy, glad, no complaining on my end. It says we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say we're defeated in the valley. It said we walk through. How do we walk through? By faith, not by wow.
Amen.
And while I'm in the valley, I sit down and have a meal with my Jesus. Because
yes.
He prepared a table for me right in the presence of my enemies.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize that's in the 23rd Psalm. Yes. They just want to quote, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, then fear no evil, man. Be happy. Have fun. Surely goodness and mercy are following you right through it. So come on, let's go.
Yes.
Anyway.